Well, I appreciate your prayers tonight. Pray the Lord will bless his word this evening. I have a few things to share that maybe are very familiar to us already, and I pray the Lord would bless to make it fresh to us. Maybe we can turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're going to start at the fifth verse. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, and the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heavens, of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When I think about these scriptures, one of the things that stands out to me initially is Jehoshaphat's presentation before the Lord, and how he presents himself to the Lord, and how he prays to God. This is essentially a prayer that he's calling out to the Lord, and he's telling God, he's reminding him of his might and of his power and of his ability to lead his people and to take them out of the land of Egypt and to bring them into this fruitful land that they're now inhabiting, and how he blessed them to be able to obtain this land. And he's reminding him also of his promise when we pray. When we pray towards this place, or it was Solomon's prayer to God, that when the people would turn and pray to this place, that God would hear. And he's reminding the Lord of that, that he would hear when they called out to him, because they are his people. And so here Jehoshaphat is calling out unto God, and he's saying, Lord, we need your help. These enemies around us, the ones that you've refused to allow us to fight and to battle and to overtake on our way into the land, you commanded us to leave them alone and to not destroy them. And here they are, and this is the recompense that they've given to us, and that they gather together to come against us and to war against us and to fight against us. And we're not strong enough, Lord, to overtake this enemy. We cannot defeat this enemy on our own. They're much more mighty than we are, and we know not what to do. I don't know about you, but there's been many a times in my life where I've reached a situation where it just seemed like I didn't know what to do. The events or the circumstances were just too big for me. It didn't seem impossible that I would be able to overcome it or achieve victory in any way. And when we're able to call upon God, who is mighty and powerful and able and all these things that he encompasses, we can call out into him and know that he hears us and know that he cares about us and that he's not forsaking us, he's not leaving us behind, he's not utterly abandoning us as his people, but he's right there and he's concerned about our needs. It's a blessing to be able to know that we can call out to God in our needs. We have not the might, Lord. We have not the power and the ability all by ourselves to overcome our circumstances and the events that have taken place. But we know you are a God in heaven and that you are able to meet the needs. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I think about this, and it's a tenderness there, a delicate. This is delicate, Lord. We've got our families, our little ones here. These enemies are coming against us to destroy us, and our little ones are here, and we're all standing before you, and we're depending upon you to lead us and direct us in this time. Lord, hear our cry and deliver us from this enemy. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Ahab, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Just a side note real fast is that to identify this man, they named, five people? The son of. And I believe that in doing that, it gives credence to him. It gives some sort of a credence to him that he's the son of so-and-so. He's the son of so-and-so and so-and-so. And it gives weight to what he's about to say. And he came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, this is by the word of the Lord that he said this, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Thank the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? The battle is not yours. It's God's. So the Lord is telling him, look, Jehoshaphat, I'm taking up this fight. I'm taking up this challenge. You need not worry or be distressed in this moment of time, but just lean upon me. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. I am your God, and I am going to deliver you all. Hearken ye, he told them. And then he gives them some instructions. He says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Go ye down. You know, I think about this statement, and the Lord is saying, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. Maybe he hasn't said that yet, but he will. But he's telling them, this is not your fight. This is not your battle, but I'm taking up this battle. And I'm taking up this fight. But yet he tells them, go forward still. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Thank the Lord. A mighty host is coming against them, a host that they're unable to defeat in and of themselves. And they're crying out unto God, and they're begging the Lord to meet their needs. And yet the Lord tells them, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. I'm reminded of the situation with Gideon, where the Lord felt like their army was just a little too big. You know, that's too many. You guys are outnumbered, sure, already, But it's still too many. So I want you to do these few things, and we're going to whittle that army down a little bit. But you know, he didn't take the whole army out. He still left him with some people to go out against the enemy. You will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He didn't tell them to just sit back in their tents and wait for God to bring a deliverance. He told them to go out and to face the enemy. And he even told them that they wouldn't have to fight, but yet he still told them to go. Set yourself, prepare, stand, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. But the Lord wanted him to go out still. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Because the Lord is with them. That's a comforting thing. If you could really take that in, and you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling overburdened, if you will, or the circumstances of life are just too much or too heavy, or it's just weighing in upon you, and the word of the Lord says, be still, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, fear not, I'm your God. And the comfort that that brings, if you can bring it into your heart and take a hold of faith, because you have to grasp it and receive it. If you just hear it as blind words or just, some people would say words are cheap. Well, God's word is not cheap. If God's word says something, you shall have it. The Lord does not go back on his word. So if he declares and if he says it, it's the truth and it's going to happen. And so when God speaks to your heart and says, be not afraid, be not dismayed, that's what he means. And you can take comfort in that. You can take peace in that. You can rest in it. And I'm going to read what Jehoshaphat took from that. Jehoshaphat in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So they had victory already. They were worshiping God. Thank the Lord he's going to see us through this. Thank the Lord. The Lord's going to fight our battles, and we're not going to have to worry about this enemy that's going to try to overtake us. Thank God. Praise God that we are going to be victorious. We need not worry about our little children and our wives and those that are depending on us and those who are looking to us for protection and care. We need not worry because God is with us. And they worshiped the Lord. That to me tells me they had faith already. They knew and they believed that God was going to do what he said. And they were standing on it. And that faith goes a little bit further. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning. They didn't sleep in. They rose up early. If you were going into a battle and you were expecting defeat of some type, you'd not wake up early to get there. But they believed that there was a victory to be had. And it says that they woke up early and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Jehoshaphat was a good leader. The Lord blessed him as a king. I don't know, maybe he wasn't. I'm sure it probably says that. However, he did not measure up to what maybe David had in the Lord. But Jehoshaphat had a testimony. And the Lord blessed this situation here. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So his statement to them was, trust the Lord. Trust the word of the Lord. Depend on what God has said unto us. His promise to deliver us. His promise to go out before us. His promise to defeat our enemies without us even having to fight in this battle. Trust God. Believe God. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I love this. God didn't tell him to go out with the singers in front of the army. He just told them to get ready and to go forth and to basically present yourselves to the enemy as if you were to fight. But I believe that Jehoshaphat reveals in this his faith and his belief in God. And he's exercising that faith. And that he's saying, you know, we don't need our army in the front. We don't need our mighty men of valor up front. God has said we will not need to fight in this battle. And I believe him. I believe what he said. I believe his word. And we're going to act upon that faith and that belief. And we're going to send the singers out. And we're going to praise God for victory heading into the battle. Because the battle's not ours. It's God's. And he will bring victory. And so here they go. Out into the battlefield, if you will. Singing praises unto God. What a sight that must have been. And when they began to sing and to praise. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. As they exercised their faith, and they went forward into the battle, believing on God, trusting in his word, believing him to be their leader and their deliverer. And they began to sing praises unto his name because of the faith that they had that he was going to meet this need. God answered the prayer. And he smote the enemy before them. For the children of Ammon and of Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah. Unto this day. So the Lord blessed them and gave them victory and even let them take the spoil from the armies that were defeated before them. I was thinking about this, and it was really as a result of a song that the Lord had given to me in the morning when I woke up. And I don't want to sing it because I'm afraid I'm going to butcher it, but it's the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you because I know not what to do. And it's in good hands. It can be in the hands of God. He's proved it. And he's proved it over and over. This isn't the only time where God has taken it up and brought about a victory or overcame circumstances. In God's hands, it's in good hands. And I think he often has to remind us, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. Fear not. And the reason why we fear and the reason why we get into dismay and wonderment is because we look at our own abilities and our own might. Just like Jehoshaphat was, we have no might, Lord. We have not the ability to do this. We can't overcome this enemy, not without you. And it happens over and over, and the... We, over and over, need to hear the word of the Lord and remember that we can trust Him and that we can depend upon Him and that we are His children, and we can remind Him like Jehoshaphat did. Remember, Lord, when you said that if we called out unto you and presented our request to you, that you would hear and that you would answer. We can do that too. And he can melt away those fears and those that dismay and that wonderment about what we will do and how we will overcome. And we can just rest in God and know that he is in control as we surrender our wills and our lives into his hands. And as we step forward in what he has presented for us to do, we need not be concerned, but only trust in God. And he will bring about a great victory. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. So the children of Israel were about to enter into the land of Canaan. And Moses was, in a sense, preparing them and getting them ready to cross over. And they had already had a situation where they were at the line, if you will, and they sent in some spies to look over the land. And there was a great concern when they came back. 10 of the spies had an evil report to say, in the sense that they didn't have the faith to believe that God was going to overtake their enemies and that they were going to be able to inhabit the land. And they were afraid because their enemies were too big or too mighty, or they had weapons of war that the Israelites didn't have. They had chariots and horses, and there were giants in our side, and their walls were, they had massive walls on their cities, and just over and over the reasons why they were inferior to the enemy. And they brought about an evil report, and so here Moses is trying to encourage them and to help them to have faith, to go into the land and to allow the Lord to bless them and to defeat their enemy before them. And in verse 24 it says, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. I was thinking about what we read in Jehoshaphat and how the Lord told them, go down. Go down and present yourself. He didn't tell them to stay in their seats or to stay in their tents and wait and I'll bring victory. But they were participants in it, even though they didn't have to raise a weapon or defeat a foe, in a sense, carnally. But they presented themselves. They were walking out before the enemy. And the Lord is telling them here that he's going to give it to them. I'm going to give you the land, but you're not going to get it standing right where you're at. You're going to have to step into the land. And not just step over the line and then I'm going to deliver the whole kingdom into your hands. But no, every step that you take, every piece of ground that you walk upon will be yours. I'll deliver it into your hands. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. The Lord wants us to go forward and make steps going forward and taking the land. And every step that you take is the Lord's going to deliver it. The battle's not ours, it's God's. And He's directing it and He's leading it, but He wants us to be in it. We're a part of this thing. And the Lord's going to bring victory, the Lord's going to prosper us by His Spirit. You know, I'm very thankful that the church is Holy Spirit led. Because if it were not, there would be serious problems. Especially in times that we've faced recently. If it were not God's church, and He were not the head of it, and was not leading it, that would be a very distressful situation. But I'm thankful that that's not the way it is. But we're led by an eternal God who is able to do all things, and nothing catches Him by surprise, nothing worries Him. But He has it all under control. And I'm very thankful for that. That we can trust Him to lead us and to be with us as we go forward and are a part of what God is doing. The Lord delivered the land of Canaan into their hands, but it was only when they went forward and continued to progress and following the Lord, their God. They could have done just like the people before and turned back and got dismayed and discouraged and had fear and doubt as to how they would proceed. But they walked in faith and went forward, and the Lord brought a great victory for them. I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3 and 10. And Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you." So here they are getting ready to cross over. The Lord has given them a promise that every step or that their feet take upon in the land, He would give it unto them. And so here they are preparing to enter in. And He says, "This is how you'll know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." That ark essentially represents God going before them. The Lord was going before them into the land. And He tells them, this is how you're going to know, or how you can get a hold of faith and trust the Lord in this. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. As soon as their feet touch the waters. I think of this and I always think their feet had to get wet. To me, that is representing that you're in it. You've stepped into it. And you've given God the opportunity to bring victory in your life. You've essentially stepped into faith. They said that when their feet was to touch the waters of Jordan, as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zereth, the Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on the dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. You know, I think sometimes we can read this and we've heard it so many different times. You know, the Lord parted the Red Sea, and he split Jordan here for the Israelites crossing over. And I think he did it for Elijah when he went over to cross Jordan. He just slapped his mantle over the water and they parted and he went on over. And Elijah comes back and he slaps Elijah's mantle on the water and he parts it over. And, you know, I think sometimes we could take that as like, okay, split it the water, you know. That's a big deal. I don't know about you all, but that's a big deal. Go out to your creek nearby your house or whatever and do that and see how often you can split it, you know. For God to do that, he was representing something. He was showing them something. He was assuring them of his power and of his might. And they were going into a huge battle, a huge, mighty event that was coming against them. The people were too strong for them. The people were mightier than them. They were well capable of destroying Israel as they entered into the land. The only thing that Israel had that they didn't have was they had God on their side. The Lord was going before them. And that tipped the scales completely. That the enemy had no room to stand against them. All they had to do was step forward and take the victory that God was offering into them. Just continue to go forward, walk into the land. Everywhere you go about, you will receive victories and you will defeat the enemies. But we have to cross over. We have to step into the water. We have to present ourselves to the enemy. Go out, he said, to the enemies. Present yourselves before them. I'm reminded of, I think it was Jonathan, that he prayed to the Lord, Lord, he presents himself to the enemy, him and his armor bearer, just the two of them, and there's the Philistines up, I think they were up on the mountain. And I don't know a whole lot about war, but I think being up top is better than being on the bottom. And he prayed to God and said, Lord, if they tell us to come up, then I know that you're with us and that you're going to give us victory. But if they tell us to stay down and wait, then I know that you're not with us and we're not going to do it. And he presents himself to the enemy, and the enemy says, come on up. And he gets a hold of faith. He says, the Lord has delivered him into our hands. And him and his armor bearer went up and fought a whole army. I don't know how many soldiers it was of the Philistines, but it was a number. And Jonathan slew the enemy as he went up and presented himself and became a part of the battle. Not going in his own might, he presented it to God, and he asked the Lord to reveal to him what he would have him to do, and the Lord delivered the enemy into his hands. Going forward, following after God, we can go forward by the grace of God. We need not be dismayed. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will guide us, and he will help us, and we are in good hands, in God's hands. And that's where we need to be, and that's where we need to stay. And I believe the Lord is going to bless us, and he's going to take care of us. He's not abandoned us. He's not forsaken us. He's right here with us. And he's going to walk with us, and he's going to go before us, and he's going to bless us. It's not that we're not going to miss those who have fallen off before us. And that we're not going to miss the battles that they would face with us. And be able to fight side by side in the Lord. And as it's been said before, you know, there's many have gone before us. Good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that no soldier that goes on before us brings about a defeat of the rest of the army, because God is our head. And he will bring us victory as we depend on him and trust in him. So when I think about that song, the battle's not mine, said little David. I think about, I know not what to do, Lord. But I know that I just need to trust you. And I know that doing that is all I need to do. And I think that it even says in that song that, if anybody knows that, I'd appreciate it if you would just sing it. But there's a part of that chorus that says, I'm so glad you let me see you're really all I need.
I'm giving it all to you. I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Little David looks so small, Goliath looks so tall, the odds were just too high. Poor little David, so he took off all of his load. With the power of God, he was clothed, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you. I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Little David, he stood tall. Now Goliath seems so small. Sweet victory had reigned for little David. He gave the battle to one. With the record of getting things done, he said, the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you. I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see that you're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord.